Blog Talk Radio.
Take time to be alone, that you may foster the seeds of greatness and gain the emotional comfort and peace of knowing your being is your sustenance. In the silent hours of solitude, do you come home to yourself? Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Bhavaspata World Radio. That was a beautiful message from Divinity Quest by Almeen, and it was number 46, if anyone wants to reread it themselves. I'm your host, Denise, joined by my beautiful co-host, Malou. Hello, Malou.
Hello, Denise.
Welcome to another exciting week of Bhavaspata, and I know we were away last week, but hopefully everybody enjoyed that beautiful meditation from Almeen. And this week, Malou and I wanted to just share a little bit about maybe just, you know, a reminder of some of the guidelines for practicing Bhavaspata, just to get the ball rolling. So, Malou, what is some of the general guidelines that you keep in mind for your own practice in offering Bhavaspata to clients?
Well, one of the first ones is that I like my space, you know, my physical space, to be sort of in order. So I create a sacred space first physically, and then, you know, spiritually and mentally and emotionally. And then it's very important to be still for me, you know, because I can feel, okay, it times up, you know, I get all, you know, maybe not worked up, but if I'm not completely still, and if I don't take the time to go within and be still within, it's more difficult for me to expand and go into oneness with the client.
Yeah.
So taking the time to become still and find that inner space and connect with my heart and with inner space, that's the most important thing for me. From there, everything just seems to flow fluidly, and it, you know, the expansion is easy. And then I don't, it's not so important whether I sit for 10 minutes or 20 minutes in that expansion. It's more a matter of how, you know, how deep the expansion is.
Yeah.
And that depends on how still I am.
So you're already creating that sacred space before your client arrives?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I do that.
I usually, you know, meditate, and that goes for, you know, also for clairvoyant readings or psychic readings and as well as Bhavaspata sessions. I usually meditate for at least 15 minutes before they arrive, and I you know, get the room ready.
Yeah.
You know, and then to sort of prepare that way and create that sacred space before they even enter.
Yeah.
Physically, but they're already there, you know.
Yeah.
When we have the appointment, but so that's the number one thing for me to create the space for the session to take place.
Yeah.
And calling the angels as well, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Do you call in the angels beforehand?
I do. I don't call them by name like I do, during the session itself, but I connect with them, you know, and I ask them just in general to come and you know,
yeah,
be a part of the event, so to speak. So, and I can feel their, you know, I can feel their energy and I can feel their presence building up, you know, about 15 to 30 minutes before the client arrives. I feel that they're rushing in or they're coming in, you know, and I can smell them. So,
that's amazing. I do that too. All of that, what you're saying, I do that as well. You know what I found, and I had kind of just learned this recently, was because we can do Bhavaspata over the phone, like we can do it long distance, and I think, like, you don't even have to have the client on the phone, but for me, I when I've done distance, I've usually had done a phone session, they've been on the phone. But Jan was sharing that she didn't, like, you know, they connected by email or a phone call before the session, and then, like, she'd hang up and then do the session and then check in with the client after. Mm-hmm. But I haven't done it that way. Have you done it that way?
I've done both.
Yeah.
But not via the phone. It has been through Skype.
Yes.
And it was just easier because the client wanted to lie down. And so it was a little bit difficult to see each other anyway, when, you know, when he's lying down, or he, you know,
yeah.
So we just talked, and, you know, I explained a little bit about what was going to happen, and then, you know, we hung up, and then I did the session, and then we called back. I find that works really well, but it's not necessary. You know, we can call back the next day or not call back at all, but usually, you know, I find that people like to talk about what happened, if they, you know, experience anything, or if I have any, you know, people are very interested in knowing if I have any messages for them, you know.
Yeah.
Did you say anything, or did you feel anything or hear anything?
Yeah.
You know, so we talk a little bit about that afterwards. So yeah
that's great.
And it works perfect, you know, it works perfectly well long distance. I mean, there's no difference, and it's the same with other types of session that I do. It doesn't matter if people are right here or on the other side of the world. The only thing is, of course, they cannot hear the music as well, and they cannot, you know, I often use the frequencies, the frequency alchemy oils, and they can't have that either. But I encourage them, if they have them already, you know, to put them on, and, you know, because they are enhancing the sacred space also.
Yes.
I find. So that works really well. I mean, they're healing all by themselves, right?
Right. But it is, it's wonderful to bring the oils into the session. It really does enhance the whole experience, I think. Not only for the client, but, you know, I think for the practitioner as well.
Yes.
Love it. I love that. I love bringing the oils in. But for initiations, we can't do those over the phone.
No. People have to be present in order to do that, yes.
So the initiations are only one-on-one or self-initiation, but then you still need to have a mentor.
Yes.
But
you can have a mentor long distance.
Yes.
And then do the initiation by yourself.
So,
that's definitely also an option. Have you been mentoring anybody?
You know, I haven't, Malou. I haven't. I mean, I've done lots of initiations.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I haven't worked with anyone who's self-initiated. No. Have you?
No, but I have sort of helped one anyway, you know, to get there. Then she decided to wait to for the retreat, to get initiated at the retreat. So
truly, that it's such a beautiful experience.
It is. And most people say that they will never forget that experience. It's very powerful.
Yeah.
I felt that too. You know, it was very powerful for me when I got my initiations. Yeah. Was it that way for you too?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It was, I was initiated. So I found, my first retreat was 2007. And I think the Belvaspitar, there was only at that time, there was up to mastery. There was level 1, 2, and mastery. And I remember they didn't happen. The initiations didn't happen in the retreats then. Mm-hmm. So it was right after the retreat, there was a group of us, and it was all our first time. For all of us, it was our first time with Almeen and a retreat, and it was such an incredible experience that a group of us after the retreat got together, and there was one of Almeen's students from New York who was already initiated, agreed to initiate us into the level one. And then, of course, you know, we were supposed to wait 6 months and get level two. And then, again, so it was almost like a year later when I got the mastery level. And mm-hmm. It was so profound. It was here in Toronto, our brother Simon there was a group of us from after the retreat got together, and it was such a profound experience. Like, I felt like I was almost levitating off the bed with the mastery level. Was mm-hmm. like I was shaking, you know, and crying, and oh my God, I was seeing all kinds of, you know, wonderful images. It was very profound for me.
Wow, that sounds amazing. Yeah. This is the level where you get connected with your soul group, right?
Yeah.
The mastery level?
Yeah.
So no wonder, really, you know, that it feels so powerful. And, you know, imagine being reunited with your soul group. I mean, that's amazing when you think about it.
It really, and, you know, I mean, it's, you know, having done initiations, like, of course, now, getting them at the retreat with Almeen, and you get, like, you can get all four levels now.
Yeah.
At the retreat, you don't, there's such an amazing consciousness because of Almeen that, you know, and I've seen such tremendous shifts in people mm-hmm. going through the initiations. Like, it's such a gift, and I absolutely love initiating. I really do.
I do too. Yeah.
So what's some of the other things we should keep in mind when we're, you know, I just want to mention that, you know, for anyone who's new to Belvaspitar, is not really, maybe that familiar with everything, there's a wonderful recording for free that Almeen has posted, which is on the Belvaspitar site. If you want to start your own business, which, you know, many of Almeen's students have done. Like, I know you're doing it, Malou. You know, our sister Sandra has a thriving business from Belvaspitar, but there's a wonderful recording that Almeen has done on how to start, you know, if you want to create a business from doing this healing work. There's some amazing tips in there. Have you listened to that, Melissa?
I have. It's a few years ago, so but I have, and it's a really good recording. I believe there's also some written material, as far as I remember, but it's like 3 or 4 years ago, actually.
Yeah, I know.
But it's really good. It's very, very good.
Yeah, there's a lot of great information.
Is it called Prosperity Business Plan or something like that?
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And it's free, so, you know, it's well worth a listen to, you know, get some ideas and maybe starting out with a free healing session for you know, you want to start a healing group or something. But just keep in mind that if you're having a healing group, that the sigils are still played, like you're still doing a one-on-one healing session. It's not a group, like you're not placing the sigils into the group. It's still one-on-one.
We can use, you know, a few sigils as a sort of a general blessing. We cannot do group healing. Babas Patat does not facilitate group healing as such, according to Amin, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
Because the alchemy that takes place is between, you know, you as the facilitator and the client, and then the alchemy of the two and the sigils with the angels is what's powerful about working with Belfast Bata.
So, and one thing that is very different from other healing modalities is that, you know, that's one thing I remind myself sometimes, actually, is that it's non-directional. We're not enforcing anything. We're not sending anything. We're not working with energy as such.
Yeah.
So I think that's very important, that we're not healing anything, because disease is really an illusion. We're just removing the layers of illusion, you know, that covers the perfection underneath. So that's what the Belfast Bata actually does.
Yeah.
So that's also the reason why we do not use a proxy like a teddy bear or a picture or something, as the proxy for the client, because we're not directing anything.
Right.
We are actually just, you know, we're going into expansion and experiencing it within ourselves and blending or merging with the client, and then calling in the angels, and they are doing the healing. That's not what I want to say, but they're bringing in the sigils or delivering the sigils into the patient's fields, auric fields. So we're not doing anything as such.
Yeah, we're just the vessel or
the
cauldron, the facilitator.
A lot of people are light workers, you know, they're sending light and they're sending the colors and whatever to others, you know, in good faith and you know, but that's just not how it works anymore, you know, with the cosmic laws that are working now. So I think that's a major difference between Belfast Bata and other healing modalities.
Yes, with this we're offering a blessing to the person, and it's there whenever they're ready or they want to receive it. The blessing is there, but we're not. Thank you for saying that. We're not sending anything. We're not enforcing anything. We're just offering the blessing. And it's entirely up to the individual, right?
Yes. I remember Amin explained it one time with, if people are thirsty, maybe they're not thirsty, but, you know, you put a glass of water on the table for them, you know, to drink some, and they're not thirsty, maybe they are, but eventually they will be, maybe, you know, and they're free to, you know, to help themselves and take the glass of water, and you just keep putting the glass of water there, and then they might take it, and then it's there for them. And it's the same with this blessing. It you know, it's offered there, but it's not enforcing anything.
That's beautiful. I haven't heard that analogy before. I like that.
I do too.
Yeah, that's great.
I was wondering, do you know how long will this blessing sort of stay present around the person? Do you know? Like days or a few weeks, or I'm not completely sure about that.
I know we asked Almeen that, and I know she answered that, and I don't remember what the answer was. I remember asking her for the alchemy when we were doing. Remember, we were one of the online courses with the alchemy and making the holy waters, and I just remember doing that and asking her how long, you know, would the holy water hold a frequency? And she said, probably at the most 6 months, but it completely depends on the environment that it's in. So, you know, for example, with the fragrance alchemy oils, we have the sigils, which re-enhances the frequency. So for Belfast Potato, I think unless we're doing like the maintenance program, it probably wouldn't be that long. If we're doing the maintenance healing, I know it's for up to 6 months.
Yeah.
But if we're doing just like a one-on-one placing the sigils, I don't think it's that long. Like maybe 24 hours.
It's interesting. You know, I read an article, a scientific article a while ago about DNA and how DNA contains light, photons. And, you know, when a DNA sample, like a tissue, you know, a tissue sample or something, or just, you know, a body, or you've been sitting in a chair, you know, when DNA has been present in a space and it is removed, the how do you say that? You know, the photons, the light from, you know, the DNA, how do you say that? Imprint? Remains in that space for up to 30 to 36 hours. They have proven that with, you know, with advanced technology, you know, a camera stuff or whatever. Yeah. So I was thinking, wow, that's interesting. So when you do the sigils, when you draw the sigils in the air, can you imagine if you could see it visually, the light, the display of light there?
Yeah.
It would be beautiful.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm thinking actually maybe the sigils will remain there in the field for about 3 days.
That's, you know, that makes sense.
But then again, the alchemy of it, it's you know, that
right.
You know, any so, physical, you know, rules or, you know, how it's normally, you know, done. So I'm thinking it probably minimum 3 days, maybe longer.
Well, we have to remember to ask Almeen
when
we get the next opportunity we have. That's a really good question to ask. So, or if any of our listeners out there remember what Almeen answered for that question, please email us and let us know. We would love to know. Because I have this vague somewhere memory that she did answer that question, and I just unfortunately in this moment cannot recollect, so but we will get an answer eventually for that.
So I'd like to ask you something, Denise. So when you do a session with someone, how do you keep your own space and not take on the energy from the client? I mean, how do you do that?
Well, Sometimes I have difficulty with that because, you know, I know there is only one being in existence and, you know, it's all me anyways. But I do, like this week I had an experience where I had a client who had like really, really bad headache, and I ended up taking it on, and not by intent or, you know, I just, you know, I always say I can only clear myself, but, and it was afterwards I had such a bad headache. I thought, okay, well, you know, maybe I took this headache from her and that's okay, you know, so, and I don't like taking medications. I really will try and avoid any, you know, painkillers or anything. So I didn't want to take an Advil, but I really wanted to clear it. So I lay down and I played Almin doing the 12 pure emotions. There's a recording that... you know, she goes into detail about the 12 pairs of emotions and what they represent. So I played that, and I would be right there. It's almost like a meditation, kind of. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I played that, and probably, you know, I would be there for the first 3 pairs, and then I was gone. Like, I was out, expansive, somewhere in the cosmos. But just before she'd finish, I'd be right back. So I'd be fully back in my body. And this happened, like, because it was on real player, so it just automatically replays. Like, it ends, it replays, unless you can stop it. But by the time it had played, the third time it played, by the time it ended, I had completely cleared. The headache was gone. There was no pain in my body. Like, I was completely, I felt rejuvenated, new, whole, amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah. So it felt really good. Really powerful. Really powerful. Yeah. And I don't know if it was just hearing Almin's voice or it was the actual just really connecting with the 12 pure emotions. I don't know, but it was really good.
Maybe both.
Yeah, probably both. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So maybe we can we can share that with our listeners.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
For tonight, it's such a powerful recording that, you know, just hearing Almin is powerful.
It is.
But it's lovely if you just get into a warm, comfortable place, and we'll let Almin take over and play us out.
Okay.
Yeah, is that good?
Let's do that.
Okay, so we hope everyone enjoys, and thank you so much for listening in and joining us. And Malou and I will be back next week. Okay, good night.
Good night.
blow out all the tension of your body. All the tightness anywhere. See your heart begin to open as you look through it. You see the solar system. See it opening wider and wider until you become all individuated life. Feel yourself as life unfolds through your being. Now, within the vastness of your being, see how every life form is you, the one expressing as the many, to love the beautiful rabbit that takes care of her babies in her burrow, the peacock strutting his feathers in the sun, exquisite colors of the field flowers. All this you are. To love anything is but self-appreciation and delight. There is only self-love. Observe the beauty of the life forms that you are. Observe your own life form, just another point of reference. And know that you are designing not only your body's own life, but all life, that there's only perfection. That you never can, nor will, make a mistake. There is trust in life, because you trust yourself. No mistakes. The large pattern of existence that you are designing, spontaneously, moment by moment, unfolding in glory, cannot be assessed from the vantage point of just one little body. Trust there is only the perfection. Inspiration. Inspiration comes effortlessly in the spontaneous orchestration and unfolding of the one life. Inspired by the beauty of your own aspects and pieces and exquisite diversity, which is really only one. Life continues in its spontaneous composition. Peace. When it is understood, anything in opposition to the real, it will finally be seen that even in the midst of seeming adversity, there's nothing but peace. Peace comes from ceasing to strive. It comes from allowing the unfolding of infinite perfection, even though we may not understand it, to come forth. Creativity. Nothing can be created anew. But in the game and the dance of life, we ad lib. We spontaneously move as pleases us. Pleasure. The deep abiding pleasure of the unfolding of diverse expressions of the oneness is always there, waiting for us to access it. It is in the total connection with ourselves the oneness expressing through us, that the pleasure is felt like a constant companion upon the adventure of life. Empathy. Where there is no more division, where there is no more illusion, there is no need to try and shield from empathically embracing all aspects of life, to taste the music, to smell colors, to feel light. The total empathic connection acknowledgement it is through the acknowledgement of the properties diverse expressions that they become ours. It's in the beauty of the dawn that when felt inside, our body becomes new. It is the exuberance of gathering birds that we find the excitement for the day. Generosity. Receptivity. Because there is no relationship, there is no real generosity or receptivity as is seen in the worldly terms, but simply the currents of the ocean moving water from one place to another. Life giving and receiving from itself. The play, the dance of alternating steps. Encouragement. Encouragement only needed when separation is seen. There is no opposition nor illusion when we live in the realness of the one life. Encouragement is the state of oneness that is uplifted by its own beauty. Encouragement from self-beauty. Uplifted. ever-unfolding, diverse, exquisite expression of the One Life. Communication and assimilation . Communication is the desire to express, but every bird that preens itself, every leaf that dances in joy, every breeze that combs the grass of the fields is us in expression. Assimilation is the desire to integrate. There is nothing to integrate. In all of existence, there is only one being. All that is worthy of assimilating is already within us. All that is worthy of being communicated is already expressed. Passion. There is nothing to know in reality, and life is all we have ever known, but it is in pretending that it's not so that we have learned to appreciate the knowingness and the life. Achievement and fun. Achievement is the desire to excel. All there is excellence. Fun is the desire to revel. Creation as a little dream was made for fun. And though it seems to us like eons of hardship, when we enter the One Life, we will know that it's been a moment. There is only excellence and fun. Enlightenment and contentment. Contentment is appreciated because we pretended that the shadows were real, because we have actually seen for a pretended moment what it's like to be without enlightenment and contentment. But in truth, nothing has ever existed in reality that is not fully enlightened and deeply content. All we need to do is remember. Empowerment and humor. Empowerment is the desire to be of service. But what is there to serve other than the self? And because there is no real need, there is no real need for service. But in the dance of life, it is just one of the steps, where one steps back and another steps forward. Humor. The desire to be amused. Let us look inside at all of the teeming life moving through our being. And the greatest humor of all is that for even an instant we took the pretend shadows seriously. It is a joke we've played on ourselves. For it is in pretending that we forgot. Joy, remembering. Growth. The desire to expand. There is nothing to become, nor to grow to. We are complete. Within us, there is deep fulfillment, which is satisfaction. Contemplate now what joy and satisfaction we can have coming home to ourselves, pretending that we've left, pretending that we had to grow to reach this point, when every note in the symphony of life has been carefully planned by ourselves. I'm going to ask that you just take a few minutes.